Hey friends, welcome. Today we're going to talk about a controversial mosque in Texas that's planning to build an Islamic city, and they already have sprawling neighborhoods. And not only that, today's special guest, Tony Garulli from Radical Truth, is going to explain how there are already many mosques that are growing and the influence of Islam in Texas, in the United States of America. That's next.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey friends, welcome. Thank you so much for tuning in and sharing the podcast. We're growing. Thank God. Praise God. And because of you. So we really appreciate your prayers and support. Let's bring in Tony Garulli of RadicalTruth.net. He's going to spend some time sharing some insights that we probably have missed paying attention to other things regarding Islam and the growth of Muslims and mosques and those communities, especially in Texas. Tony, good to see you, brother. Thanks for your time today.
Great to be with you again, Dave.
All right. So before we jump into this, a lot of headlines over at RadicalTruth.net we're going to get to. But I just want to mention, we celebrated Easter a few weeks ago, and the tomb is still empty. So that's the good news. Jesus is Lord. The tomb is still empty, and he's returning. Praise God. But President Trump put out an Easter message that was pretty impressive, mentioning Christianity, mentioning the sacrifice of Jesus, and so much more. And it was just such a contrast to Joe Biden's message on transgenderism and last year. And I'm going to get your response when I read this. So last year from the White House, "Now, therefore, I, Joseph R. Biden, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim March 31, 2024 as Transgender Day of Visibility." And we're stopping right there because it fell on Easter Sunday, and that's what they celebrated at the White House. Just your thoughts. I don't know if you had a chance to see President Trump's Easter proclamation, but I'll mention that in a minute, but just your thoughts on just the contrast, having an administration that's at least friendly to Christians and respectful of religious freedom and more.
Well, Trump has said that he would defend Christian freedom, and obviously he's not trying to create a Christian theocracy in America, which some people are trying to, you know, make it out to be, but it's simply remembering not only the foundation of our founding documents and that they were founded on the Bible, but also the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord, and there is one God of the universe, and Muslims believe in a God as well. Obviously, they have the wrong God, but obviously Jesus and his perfect life, death, and resurrection, being the eternal Son of God in human flesh, living the life that we couldn't live, in other words, sinless, unlike us, and then dying a guilty man's death, which we actually deserve. I just explain it this way to people. We broke God's law, the Ten Commandments, and Jesus paid our fine. And when we repent and put our trust in Christ, then we can be forgiven of our sin and be granted the gift of everlasting life. And it's great to see a president who acknowledges historical truth. And I'm not sure if anyone in your audience, Dave, I'm sure some of them have seen, it was a behind-the-scenes video of Catherine Levitt, I believe is how you pronounce her name, the press secretary. And she was in the back before walking out. Before all of the media people, she actually was praying in the back, asking for, you know, the Lord for the words to speak and so on. So definitely a lot of Christians in his administration, and that is great. And yeah, it's exciting to see. And obviously we can see the exact opposite of that when we look at any Islamic countries that are under an Islamic theocracy. There are people here in America trying to say that Trump's trying to push Christian nationalism or whatever else. No, it's just simply realizing and remembering what our country was founded upon.
It's okay to be patriotic. It's okay to be thankful for this nation, this great nation in America, and the freedoms we have. It's okay, but that doesn't necessarily make you a Christian nationalist, but whatever. I was just impressed. And by the way, she did mention Jesus, said, "Jesus, just help me, give me clarity," and whatever else she prayed. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so thankful not perfect men and women, but there are men and women of God in Trump's cabinet. I'm thankful for many of those appointments. We also did a show, Tony, on Paula White Cain, who we have some concerns about. We know there's a faith office, but we also know there's a lot of good people in there, along with some people whose doctrine you and I would not necessarily support or agree with. We don't know who has the most influence on the president, but we're thankful. Back to the Easter proclamation. Then we've got a lot to cover when it comes to Islam in Texas and mosques and all that. He said, Christians around the world remember the crucifixion of God's only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And on Easter Sunday, we celebrate his glorious resurrection and proclaim, as Christians have done for nearly 2,000 years, he is risen through the pain and sacrifice of Jesus on the, this is our president, of Jesus on the cross. We saw God's boundless love and devotion to all humanity. And in that moment of his resurrection, history was forever changed with the promise of everlasting life. As we approach this joy, and this was a couple weeks ago, as we approach this joyous Easter Sunday, I wish Christians everywhere a happy and very blessed holiday. America is a nation of believers. We need God, we want God, and with his help, we will make our nation stronger, safer, greater, more prosperous, and more united than ever before. Thank you and happy Easter. And I'm just so blessed. It's so refreshing to have an unapologetic proclamation like that. And we don't need to spend much more time on it. We can move on. But just a quick thought to wrap it up.
Yeah, it does say there at the end, Dave, Trump, moreover, used his statement to reiterate his promise to defend the Christian faith.
Yes.
And folks, that's what we need to do as Christians. 1 Peter 3:15 is defend the Christian faith theologically when we're out there sharing the gospel with people. And as I always say, the gospel is the solution to all of the world's problems, including the ones that we're going to be talking about today.
Yes, it's really interesting. I mean, he is a friend of the Christian around the world, and he will defend Christians. He's against persecution. He tried to raise awareness in his first term as president. And you don't hear much about Nigeria, but we have a president like this now who's back. So we're thankful. But now let's go down to Texas in the USA. Tony, I think a lot of people, let's start with this. Whether you say it has something to do with 9/11 or whatever, but a lot of people are surprised, maybe even shocked, that there's so much growth of Islam and so many mosques that are flourishing, particularly in a quote-unquote red state like Texas. Your overall thoughts on that before we look at some articles?
You know, what people need to realize is that if they could take over Texas, they could take over just about any state in the United States. You figure for how conservative Texas is overall. But yeah, this has been happening, Dave, for a long time, as far as the Islamization. And there are many cities outside of this area that have been known to be Islamized for many years now. This just happens to be, again, making it into the news, because things do every now and then when enough people make a fuss about it. But Islamization of different places in Texas have been taking place for a long time. And I have a number of those places to talk about today. But first of all, you know, as you would saw, this epic, you know, epic is is maybe not as popular a word now as it was a few years ago. People saying this is epic, that's epic. Well, epic is technically an acronym for the East Plano Islamic Center. Mm-hmm. And this is about 18 miles north of Dallas. And this is a huge complex. You're talking about 76,000 square feet. And it's interesting because at a recent public meeting about this, a retired police lieutenant of the Plano Police Department went in there. He warned everyone about what has been happening around this area for many years, including when he was a sergeant and he had many interactions with the people of this community. But basically he had said, you know, there's 75 residential properties here, schools, a medical clinic, multiple businesses, and even a financial institution that engages in Sharia compliant financial transactions. And obviously, Sharia or Islamic law is one of the main concerns that people have about this. And that you see the Islamization of other countries that have taken place, and how as the Muslim population grows, they demand more things, from halal food to Islamic banking and so on. And obviously, what people need to know, and I have some primary sources here I want to share with everyone, is that we need to go back 1,400 years before we jump to where we are now, just to help it all make more sense.
Yeah.
And that's the fact that the goal of Islam, now this may not be known to your Muslim neighbor or coworker, they may know it but don't really talk about it. Could be a whole lot of factors here. But the fact is that the goals of Islam as a religion is to have the entire world under Islamic law and that have everyone become Muslim. Now, we're seeing the Islamization of Western countries, and we got to think, why is this taking place? And what measuring rod do we have to let people know if their Muslim neighbor is doing what Muhammad said to do or not? Well, first of all, we have the Quran, which is supposedly the eternal word of Allah, and these revelations that Muhammad supposedly received over 22, 23 years of his life is now made up of, is now known as the Quran. So that's the main book that Muslims go by. Mm-hmm. But then also we have the biographies of Muhammad. These are known as the Sirah. This is the oldest one right here. And this is a pretty thick book. Now, I'm not even going to go in depth into the problem of that all of these primary sources of Islam are 150 to over 200 years after the life of Muhammad. But nevertheless, these are the primary sources that Muslims look to.
Yep.
Now, if you take the Quran and you take the Hadith, which is the things that Muhammad said and did, and here is a 9-volume set of the Hadith.
Wow.
Okay. That is the things that Muhammad said and did. And then you have the Quran. And when you take the Quran and you take the Sunnah, and the Sunnah is the example of Muhammad. The example of Muhammad is found in the Quran and primarily the Hadith collection that I just showed you there. So when you take the Hadith and the Quran and the Sirah and all this information, that is how you derive Sharia, which is Islamic law. And here are 3 Islamic law books.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 4 major schools of Islamic law, according to Sunni Muslims, the Maliki, Shafi'i, Hanbali, Hanafi, Maliki, Shafi'i, and Hanbali schools of Islamic law. And these are the primary sources that Muslims go by. If okay. they actually know Islamic theology, if they actually follow their own religion.
Okay.
Now, obviously, as Christians, we have the Bible, and in the Bible, we have everything that we need to know, because that is the biography of Jesus, what he said, what he did, and so That's on. Right. So these are the primary sources that we need to have in mind when we're talking about what we're talking about today.
So we talked a little bit before we got on the show today how there are some, just like Christianity, there's nominal Christians who maybe don't really follow the whole Bible. Well, they wouldn't have a biblical worldview then, but they call themselves Christians. There are also Muslims in the same category, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there are 1.6 billion Muslims roughly around the world. So people are saying 1.8 now. But yes, you have nominal Muslims. You have cultural Muslims. You have Islamists. You have jihadists. These are 4 categories that I used in a recent presentation that I created. But technically, they all fall under that umbrella of Muslim. The question is, which of these groups, nominal, cultural, Islamists, and jihadists, are doing what Muhammad said to do?
Hmm.
Which of these groups would Muhammad say are not his followers? Which would he say are not Muslims, quote unquote? So it's all these need to be factored into what's happening, why it's happening. And we got to ask ourselves, why is this taking place in Texas? Why is it being allowed to take place? And yes. what have Christians not done that's resulting in this taking place?
And by the way, we have done shows with you before talking about Muhammad and his background and how he was about conquest and how he didn't have a minor. How old was his wife?
Aisha, nine
years old. I was going to say
he consummated 9 when she was 9, but married when she was 6. But yeah.
Yeah. There's so much more that people don't understand about Muhammad and about Islam. We'll talk more about that. We'll talk more about Texas and this, what we would look at as a possible Islamic conquest, and that's really their goal. When we come back on Worldview Matters, we'll be right back.
Today's show is brought to you by Harbingers Daily, world news biblically understood. Stay informed at harbingersdaily.com.
Hey, right now, friends, Freedom Project Academy is enrolling students for this fall with live, anytime, and homeschool courses pre-kindergarten through 12th grade. To celebrate 15 years of academic excellence, we're offering a 15% discount on all courses. That's go to freedomforschool.com. That's freedomforschool.com. Use the code David15 to save 15%. That's David15 to save 15% on all courses at Freedom Project Academy. Tony Gurley is our guest today. RadicalTruth.net. A lot of great articles. So many that you need to look up. Great resources there on his website as well. Tony, before we jump into more of this story in Texas and the concerns there, you shared something before we got on there about the you are in how many different countries now? Downloads and podcast listeners, 123 countries. Is that even more than that? Or what's going on there?
Yeah, what's crazy, Dave, is that up to about a week ago, we had downloads in 88 countries. The newest one, the most recent, was South Korea, where we had a listener or person who was downloading. All of a sudden, in the last week, we've had downloads in 25 to 30 new countries and locations around the world.
Wow.
So I don't know what exactly is going on. Yeah. If one person spread the word or a bunch of people are spreading the word. But it's not like one podcast went viral and it's just being downloaded a bunch. If I go through the list, we see a smaller number of downloads, but pretty much every single thing that we've ever put on the platforms. So praise God.
Yeah.
Because now the gospel, apologetics, and polemics are in that many more countries.
Yep. Praise God for that. Now, let's go back to Texas, our concerns about what's unfolding there. And what this article is over at Rare Foundation. And that's what it says, Islamic conquest in Texas. And they're talking about this mega church as being the latest trophy in the mosque expansion war. And it says what's unfolding there isn't community development. It's a religious and territorial conquest where the symbols of Christianity are being stripped, repurposed, and replaced to signal Islam's dominance over Texas soil. Tony, I understand that. You understand that. But help our viewers and listeners break that down, because that sounds very concerning to me.
And that particular story there, Dave, that one is simply Muslims trying to buy a megachurch and turn it into a mosque. So that helps them Islamize even quicker, because there's no need to build.
Yeah.
They just move right in and they turn it into a mosque. And that has happened throughout the U.S. and through Europe. They are more than happy to buy churches that have shut down, which, of course, is a topic in and of itself and a problem that we need to deal with. But they will buy shut down churches and turn them into mosques. In addition to that, as we see in Epic City that they're trying to build here, Epic Ranches and so on, there's a number of places in Texas where there are not necessarily buying churches to turn them into mosques. They're simply expanding the mosques that are already there. And the Islamic Center of Frisco, which is about 27 miles north of Dallas, they have a $12.5 million expansion going on.
Wow.
And the Islamic Center of Pflugerville, 16 miles north of Austin, a $1 million expansion is going on. And the Islamic Center of Irving, 10 miles northwest of Dallas, they've already had stuff going on for a long time. And if you go in that area, Dave, you actually see street names named after Islamic figures. There's a whole lot of places in Texas that have already been Islamized and haven't even made it into the news. But there's a lot of expansion going on. It's the Islamic Center of Aubrey, about 48 miles north of Dallas. They recently bought 25 acres of land for an expansion project. The Islamic Center of Quad Cities, 48 miles north of Dallas, bought 5.7 acres of land for an expansion project. And that one that you just showed on the screen there, that one is 28 miles northeast of Dallas, and they're trying to buy, again, a 56,000 square foot mega church, turn it into a mega mosque.
Yep.
So there are multiple things happening here, but the goal of it all is Islamization.
Yep.
Now, are they going to come out and say that their goal is to Islamize the state, Islamize the nation? No. Why would they? But that doesn't mean that, according to all those primary sources that I just showed a few minutes ago, that is the goal of Islam.
Yeah.
So what has created the atmosphere in Europe and in the U.S., and even in Texas specifically, why is the Islamization even able to take place in the first place? Are Christians not sharing the gospel? Are Christians not defending the Christian faith? Why are churches shutting down when it should be churches that are opening, churches that are expanding? So it's the gospel that we need to focus on.
Yes.
It's the gospel that we need to get out there.
Yes. So let's go over to this story over at the Daily Mail. They did an article on the Epic City as well. And now there's more awareness that has been raised about this, but it's Epic City. It would be anchored by a brand new mosque and include 1,000 homes, green spaces, schools. And Governor Greg Abbott has promised that the development will never see the light of day. He accused Epic of breaking the law and practicing Sharia, although I haven't read enough articles to see if there's any evidence of that. But Tony, can you talk about what's going on? Do you think this is going to happen, or do you think now that people have caught on, more Texans will become concerned? What do you see happening there?
Well, when he says it'll never see the light of day, people are still trying to interpret what that means. Does he mean according to the current plans as far as the building permits? Because that's one of the things that they're really looking at. Did they get the right permits? You figure the more lofty an idea is for a particular location and what you're dreaming what it's going to look like, the bigger it is, the more chances that there's going to be problems with building codes and stuff like that. So that's what they're really scrutinizing right now, is looking at all of that stuff. Again, even though the goal is Islamization, they're never going to come out and say that. And they even have a lawyer now who's now fighting for the Muslims, you know, calling Abbott and anyone who's criticizing it racist, which makes obviously zero sense because Islam is a religion, not a race. But I guess they don't want to use the term. They don't want to call you a religionist, so they call you a racist because that, you know, that holds more weight, apparently. But basically, they have an investor group that was actually created by the Epic leadership itself. And it's a CCP, you know, great name for an investor company in the West. But that's an acronym for Community Capital Partners. And people have to invest and buy an $80,000 share in CCP in order to reserve a home lot. And apparently out of those 1,080 homes, there's already 500 that have been purchased, quote unquote, because people have made $80,000 investments in the shares here. But yeah, they want a commercial retail space, a mosque, Islamic K through 12 private school. And apparently one of the reasons why they have a 402-acre tract of land in Josephine, Texas, about 60 miles northeast of Dallas, is actually outside the city limits, because apparently there's lower noise restrictions if you're in the country rather than in the city. And obviously any mosque that is being built is going to want to blare its call to prayer through the loudspeakers multiple times a day. That's another issue here that people have a problem with. And so, yeah, April 5th and April 14th, both Texas Attorney General and also the governor, you know, came out and said that there are problems with this whole situation. But again, we will see. Does this mean it's going to be shut down completely? Or does it mean that they're just going to have to really scrutinize the paperwork and fix a lot of things in order to eventually get it approved? Let's just say that the whole thing is shut down. Mm-hmm. I already gave you and your audience a list of multiple other Islamic centers and multiple other parts of Texas that are expanding, and or Muslim groups buying churches to turn them into mosques. Hmm. So either way, Islamization is taking place.
Yes.
But the solution here, Dave, is the gospel, and Christians and pastors of churches saying, hey, we need to get our church equipped to share the gospel with people. Yeah. Because if you aren't comfortable sharing the gospel in general, if that's an intimidating thing for you, the chances of you reaching out to a Muslim are virtually zero. So we need to get all churches better equipped to do evangelism. And if people go to radicaltruth.net, they can contact us and ask, we want you to come and do general evangelism training for our church. Because we have the tips, tools, tactics, and principles to equip your church that will boost their confidence and will cause the fear factor, because evangelism is spiritual warfare, It'll cause the fear factor to go down. And as long as our love for people is greater than our fear, we're going to reach out to them. But we have the tools and principles and tactics to teach you that will allow every single person in your church to share the gospel with hundreds of people per year very easily. Now, Dave, unfortunately, some people think share the gospel, if necessary, use words. That makes about as much sense as feed the hungry, if necessary, use food. Because you need to use words to share the gospel. And we're going to give you guys the training that you need to confidently share the gospel with people around you. And that's the solution to this, because Muslims don't have the right Jesus. They don't have the right God. They either have never heard the gospel or they don't understand it, one or both. So the solution to all of this is not looking to Trump and thinking, oh, well, for at least 4 years, he's going to protect us. No, don't look to the president as the solution here. Jesus is the solution.
Amen.
The gospel is what people need to hear.
That's
and
right.
If we as Christians go out and share the gospel with people who need to know and understand it, which is virtually everybody, that will take care of all this. That will stop the Islamization. That will stop all the other problems that the world has, because so many people are looking to and serving Satan rather than the God of the universe.
Yeah. There's there's so many problems when it comes to the declining biblical worldview. I just had Dr. George Barna on the podcast a few weeks ago. All the indicators point to Christian compromise and the biblical illiteracy and churches.
Secularization.
That's what's happening as these mosques are being planted and they're growing. But there's nothing to be afraid of. It's not just happening in Texas. It is around the country. But I like what you said. The solution is the gospel, to get people saved, to build strong churches, to get the reestablish the biblical worldview in our own churches so that we can be strengthened enough to understand, hey, we need to continue to do the work of Jesus. That's why we're here. This is eye-opening, I think, because as you said, Texas used to be a conservative state, maybe to
still
some degree.
Still is compared to many, but.
Yeah, compared to many. But Tony, we've talked about the Muslim Brotherhood before and just in our government and things like that. And man, it can be overwhelming to think about this as you look at Christianity kind of declining. But then I see a remnant of strong churches. I see some godly men of God, good pastors. I see ministries like yours that are growing and reaching even outside of the country. And I get a little bit of encouragement. I get a little hope and I get a little a little sense of, well, God's going to still work as long as we're here. But we have to do the sharing, right? And the knowing the gospel.
No.
And brother, I thank you for your ministry, radicaltruth.net. And Jesus, the gospel, the solution. We'll leave people with that. Appreciate your time, brother.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, guys. Again, go to radicaltruth.net. Thank you for sharing our podcast. Remember our new YouTube channel, Worldview Matters, David Fiorazzo on YouTube. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.